The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Haunted Whisper, where I, your host, DJ Whisper, will deep dive into Spanish folklore and myth. Each episode will be dedicated to a specific myth, where we will discuss the myth itself and its origin. Welcome back to episode 5 of my series, Haunted Whisper. For today, we will go over the myth of El Silbón. Known for his eerie whistle and tragic past, El Silbón roams the night, haunting those who dare wander too far. His story is a chilling reminder of the consequences of evil deeds and the restless spirits that seek vengeance. But before we get to this, I would like to bring in a very special guest for today's episode. Very excited to introduce her to you because not only does she listen to this on her free time, but she's actually the one that introduced me into folklore. So she may not be famous, but she's a very special person to me. Most of the memories I have of her when growing up is of us listening to these stories together. So let's jump right in. Jasmine, welcome to Haunted Whisper. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to take part of this podcast.
I'm very happy you were able to make it for today's podcast. So tell me, how were you introduced into Spanish folklore and myth?
Introduced to Spanish myths at a very early age. Being Mexican American, it's part of our culture. Not so much part of our beliefs, but they are stories that get passed down from generation to generation. You know, these stories our grandparents listened to, and our parents, and now we listen to them. But yeah, I was introduced to them by my grandparents.
Can you tell me a little more, or a certain memory you have that, like, the earliest you can remember of hearing these stories?
Oh, I think that the first memory I have would be of the one where I was introduced to the story of La Llorona, which, to sum it up, it's a story or a myth about a lady who let her kids drown, and now her soul can't rest since she's constantly looking for her kids, and she is found in rivers or body of waters just crying out, "Oh, my kids," but in Spanish, since she's constantly looking for them. And it's said that she takes kids with her, so she'll drown them with her in the water, or she'll just make the kids disappear. This story was introduced to me by my grandparents, specifically my grandma.
That's very interesting. I feel like I don't really remember any of those memories, but seeing how you started and then I was able to integrate myself into these and being able to listen to the stories really help spring out our cultural aspect of having that blend of Mexican American culture. For today, it's a little bit different since we have Jasmine as our guest, but I still wanted to share the myth of El Silbón, and I also wanted to have Jasmine's opinion on it. Have you ever heard of El Silbón?
No, I don't think that sounds familiar.
Great news for me, because I will get the opportunity to share that myth with you and for our listeners as well. So let's get started with the myth. Long ago, in a remote village in Venezuela plains, there lived a young man named Santiago. He was tall and strong, but his heart was blackened by selfishness and pride. His family, poor and hardworking, toiled under the hot sun to scrape together a living. Despite their efforts, Santiago would often berate them, claiming that they were not doing enough to ensure his comfort and pleasure. One fateful day, Santiago returned from a journey to find that his father had failed to bring home any game from the hunt. Furious, he confronted his father, his temper igniting the dry tinder. "How dare you return with nothing?" he spat, glaring at a man who had given him life. "I deserve more than this." His father, weary and weak from a day spent hunting, attempted to reason with his son. But Santiago would not listen. In a fit of rage, he grabbed his father's hunting knife and plunged it deep into his chest. The older man fell to the ground, his blood soaking into the parched earth. Realizing what he had done, Santiago stood over his father's body, his breath coming in, raging gasp. The villagers, drawn by the commotion, gathered around him. In a horrified silence, they watched as Santiago's grandfather stepped forward, his eyes brimming with tears. "You have brought dishonor upon our family," he said, his voice trembling with anger and sorrow. "For this, you will be cursed." As the villagers bound Santiago's hands and dragged him into the heart of the jungle, the old man gathered a handful of chili peppers, a rope, and the remains of his stained father. He set to work performing an ancient ritual, one that would bind Santiago to a fate worse than death. When the ritual was complete, Santiago's grandfather spoke the final words. "You shall wander these lands for all eternity, burying the bones of your father in a sack, forever haunted by the souls you have wronged. And each night the world will know your presence by the morning whistle that escapes your lips." From that moment on, Santiago ceased to be human. He became El Silbón. So, Jasmine, what are your first reactions of hearing this story?
Oh, wow. I had never heard of that story. So does that mean that his soul isn't resting?
So yes, until he finds peace or a place where he can rest his father's body or, you know, bones, he will not have any peace.
Oh, wow. I understand having to, you know, deal with the consequences of your own actions. But does he harm people? You know how some myths, they like La Llorona, you know, she takes kids, for example. So does he take people with him? Does he harm people? Does he do anything?
You know, there's always different variations of the story, but essentially it's kind of all the same. He either harms them, takes his souls, or since, you know, people hear his whistles, it's more of a caution for them. So then it could just mean he's just trying to pass by. And if you're like in his way, then yeah, he'll take your soul. But if not, he'll just appear, disappear, keep roaming around.
Wow, that's really scary, especially in, you know, the countryside or in rural areas where people really believe in these myths. And, you know, nature makes all of these noises. So I'm pretty sure the people are used to it. But I know that for others, they may believe that, you know, it's actually him that's roaming around.
So I feel like, to me, and what I was reading, is that a lot of local communities, just how you were mentioning, they kind of really believe in these teachings, and they see it as a moral lesson and like a cautionary for children. Like, they tell the story to make sure that the kids are going in the right path. And El Silbón's haunting whistle is a warning for them. So would you say that as a child, there were stories that you remember that your parents were telling you, or, you know, your grandparents, anything similar to El Silbón, or just any other type of story?
Yeah, for sure. Going back to the story of La Llorona, I do remember when I was told this story for the first time, because it actually did scare me as a kid. I remember we were in Mexico with my grandparents, and their house, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's in the countryside. There's pretty much nothing there except for a river. That's probably what, like 50 feet away from their home. It's very close. And when it rains, it can be pretty steep and dangerous for kids. So one of the reasons why I think my grandma did tell me that story was for me to not go down there, to not go down to the river and play, because accidents do happen. So for my own safety, I remember her saying, you know, like, don't go down there. La Llorona's going to take you, or be careful. Or do you hear that noise? And I did hear the noise as a kid. So as a kid, I did believe it was La Llorona that was roaming around after a storm. So yeah, I do agree with you that these stories are used to influence kids and what they do, and try to make them do the right thing and to not get in trouble.
Right. I remember my own versions of, you know, don't do this because, you know, this, like, for example, Cucuy will come and get you, or like, don't go near the water because La Llorona is going to be there and she's going to take you away. So I do get it. But going back a little bit to what you were saying, you said that when you were younger, you were a believer. Would you say these stories, would you still think about them the same? Like, they, do you still believe in them? Because personally, I see them as stories, but at the same time, I don't want to say they don't exist because you never know. And I don't want them to have ever have an experience with them. What's your take?
Yeah, for sure. You don't want them to come back and prove you wrong, right? I would say that I think I have a very, very similar perception as you. I want to say that they are, you know, these stories that were made up, but, and, you know, I want to believe that they're not true, but why did they come up with these stories? What happened? Did, you know, maybe 100 or 200 years ago, did this person really do X, Y, and Z? And have the people of, like, the small town, have they really seen them, like, their spirit? Or, you know, you just never know. So I would say that I don't get as scared as I used to as a kid. But I don't like playing with spirits or any of those things. So I would just let them, you know, as a kid, I would get really scared. I would listen to noises and, you know, your first thought is, oh my gosh, like, is it a monster? I know this is not like myth related, but like, you know, is the monster behind the closet? Is there a monster under my bed? Just as like, you know, if I would have grown up with the story of El Silbón, if I would have heard whistles, I would have been like, oh my gosh, you know, like, he's here. But yeah, I don't believe in them today, but as a kid, I would have been highly influenced by them.
I think that those stories you were hearing as you were growing up kind of instilled you to feel or have a sense of fear than like whatever actions you did. Or was it more so, oh yeah, like, these stories happen, but I don't think it's going to happen to me?
The fear was definitely instilled. I mean, you brought up a cuckoo, that we were constantly being told, like, oh, like, don't go to the other room, El Cucuy is there. Or like, La Llorona, don't go near the river or else she'll take you. And then you start hearing these noises that you're like, oh yeah, like, I'm hearing these noises and I've heard about these stories. So, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. So yeah, you think that the monster is right there, La Llorona is right there. So yeah, they definitely influenced my actions as a kid. And fun fact, I'm not sure if it's due to these stories being told to me as a kid, but I mean, till this day, I'm still scared of the dark and of different noises, like random noises that when I hear them, I'm like, whoa, what is that?
So I have one final question for you. So what makes you want to keep learning about these stories, or what excites you when you hear these stories?
I think that my main motive would be trying to keep my culture alive. I think that, I'm not very familiar on like the myth stories of different cultures, but like I mentioned earlier, you know, like, as a Mexican American, these stories have been passed down from generation to generation. So that's what makes me want to continue learning them. And I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a whole bunch of other stories that are out there, but I just don't know, but it would be really cool to continue learning about them and just to understand the perspective that people, especially in the countryside, just to see like their approach to life. Not saying that these stories have a huge impact on their lives, but they do have some influence on how they live them, or like their beliefs, right?
The point you made about how it helps bring in your culture, because ever since the beginning of my first episode, I've instilled that idea of stories insight into culture. And yeah, I appreciate you coming into my podcast and taking your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed taking a part in this podcast, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. And so, yes, this concludes episode 5. Stay tuned for the next episode.